This is Talking Business. Well, I'm joined now by Grevis Beard and Rose Bryant-Smith, co-founders and directors of WorkLogic. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Now, it seems to me that you're kind of, I don't know, how can I put it, workplace family counsellors.
Yeah, that's one way you could put it. Yeah, we focus on bad behaviour in the workplace and helping employers prevent that and address it when it does happen.
But it seems to me, just reading your material, that it's as with families, it's all to do with communication.
A lot to do with communication and also values and basically, I suppose, making sure that if things are not going well, what can that organisation use to fix the problem? That's often the problem where people don't even realise what they need to do to fix up a problem.
And how much of your work these days is to do with sexual harassment?
Yeah, probably still a significant proportion, sadly. It's I think as we saw with the Me Too movement over the last 12 months, a lot of people who suffer poor behaviour in the workplace of a sexual nature are feeling more confident and supported to raise that, which I think is a great thing. But sexual harassment and bullying have always been big areas of work for us.
Do you have a routine solution to that?
Depends on the issue. Depends on how big it is, how bad it is, how long it appears to have been going on for. So basically, it could be anything from at one end refresher training or simply a reminder about what is appropriate workplace behaviour, but then it can go through to mediations, facilitated discussions, right through to something called a formal investigation or even a culture review to try and really understand what is going on and what can the organisation do better to minimise that issue for the future.
Tell us a bit about the background of the firm. You started, 11 years ago?
Yeah, we did, yes.
And what were you both doing before that?
Before that, I was a corporate lawyer in big firms in Melbourne and had done a short stint at the Equal Opportunity Commission on a contract as an investigator conciliator of complaints of sexual harassment and other discrimination. That's where Grevis and I met around 2009.
At the Equal Commission. Right.
Yes, as it was then called. It's now called VERIOC, but then it was called the Equal Opportunity Commission of Victoria. So I was there for 10 years running the front line, assisting my team of staff to deal with inquiries about rights and responsibilities of Victorians under that legislation.
Right. And to what extent does the equal opportunity experience stood you in good stead for what you're doing now?
Yeah, very much so. In terms of what are the proper and fair ways to respond to complaints and concerns that are raised in the workplace. One of the good things about those legislative schemes is that they have a set process for making sure that problems and concerns are tested and investigated formally so that if there is any wrongdoing, it's identified properly. And then that puts the employer in a position where they can take appropriate action. And that's why we started the business back in 2007 when I was working at one of the big firms in the city. I had a request from one of my clients who was a large organisation in a government entity, and they called me up and said, look, we think we might have a bullying problem, but we don't know how to test that. And they said, we don't want you to do it because you're an expensive lawyer, so can you go and find a cheaper consultant who can come into the workplace, review it, talk to people, understand their real experience, because we know we've got all the policies right, but we can't test that lived experience of employees, and we don't know what problems are hidden. So I said, oh yeah, no worries, I'll go away and find someone for you. And I couldn't find anyone. And so that said to me, right, if I can't find anyone who's working in the bullying space, particularly because back then it was really just emerging as an identified breach of occupational health and safety and something that's very damaging to productivity and impacts on not only the person being bullied, but the entire team and in fact the broader workplace. So hence the idea for WorkLogic was born, and we've been bigger and better and, supporting Australian employers both here and in their overseas operation for the last 11 years.
Right. So how much cheaper are you than a big law firm?
notably.
tell us what you charge and how you charge.
Yeah, sure. By the hour? So we charge by the hour, like a law firm, mainly for most of our projects, mainly because a lot of those sorts of problem workplaces, it's very hard to know how bad it is until you actually go down and start exploring it. So we're always happy to do estimates on particularly the size of the team that's possibly dysfunctional, but some of the other projects that we do also are things like policy reviews or training programs that obviously are done at a set price. But look, for some very big, very high profile investigations like we've seen across Australia over the last couple of years with very, very senior people having complaints made against them, organisations sometimes choose to have a QC to do that for a variety of reasons. But I think we heard that the one of the larger investigations of a very prominent politician in Melbourne recently cost up to $1 million. So we certainly don't cost that much.
All right. Can you tell us what your charge out rate
is? Yeah, sure. It's $325 an hour.
And does that vary according to the seniority of the person
most
applied? I mean, that's what happens in a law firm, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've got a pretty flat structure because one of the things that's really important in the way our consulting works is that the judgment of the individual who goes down to do the project is really important. So it's not something that can be kind of pushed down to someone more junior. So we have quite a flat structure and quite a flat fee structure as a result.
Can you give us an example of a case that you've recently done, just to give us a sense of how it works?
Certainly. Well, look, we deal with all range of sectors, both private and public, peak bodies, not-for-profit. But in certainly how it works is if an organisation were to call us, usually the CEO or HR manager, and say, look, we've received this complaint, we would then look at the available written material already.
And is it always in response to a complaint?
Increasingly, no. But it was like that for the first couple of years of WorkLogic's existence, where people were very reactive. So 80 to 90% of our work was very reactive then, and we were very much, oh, we've got the call coming through, someone wants us to do an investigation. Now, increasingly, I think, thankfully, for organisations' health, people are calling us proactively. They're wanting to know about, look, we haven't got any formal complaints yet, but we're getting noise, we're getting intel, people are leaving, exit interview information is indicating there might be a concern. What can you do to help us proactively manage that? So increasingly, we are getting much more of a call for culture reviews and training of managers to improve their interpersonal skills and their emotional intelligence. When people do call us for investigation, usually we need to understand, in terms of pricing, how many allegations are being alleged, how many people will be interviewed, and does the organisation wish us to make findings of fact only, or also comment on the breach of code of conduct. So there are a few paradigms and questions we ask there. As with all types of projects, you have quite a lot of information you need to digest at the front, and then we'll provide a quote based on those types of factors.
Is it always or even usually about a power imbalance?
I think it's often about a power imbalance, but one of the things that we often see when teams are going off the rails is that there are a number of factors at play. So, for example, it might be that there's a power imbalance. It might be a traditional power imbalance where in the hierarchy someone more senior is behaving poorly or putting pressure on someone that's inappropriate. But sometimes it's that there's someone in the team who is quite a toxic personality and who is, in fact, upwardly bullying someone who's more senior than them. And often also, the bigger picture is that there's something going on in the workplace that's allowing people to behave badly. Because we all have a bad day where, you know, we don't have enough coffee in the morning or we've got issues going on at home. Quite often we see people who have personal concerns, like whether it be issues in their marriage or they're unwell. They might behave poorly and breach of the organisation's expectations and values once or twice. It's only bullying if it's repeated and ongoing and causing an impact and a risk to the health and safety of people around them. So often what we see when there's bullying or inappropriate behaviour happening in a team is that there's a lack of decisive management that's holding people accountable, either for their performance or the level of conduct that they're displaying in the workplace. So it's always the responsibility of the person who's behaving badly, if that's what they're doing, to recognise that and improve their behaviour and comply with the employer's expectations around values and, you know, treating people with respect. But often, you know, when you take one step back from what's going on with the individuals, you realise that, in fact, there is also sometimes a failure of management or the behaviour is very hidden, and so that needed to be brought to light.
And how often does it result in the bully being fired?
Reasonably rarely, but what the organisation always must do is actively manage the risk that that person ever behaves that way again. So as Grevis mentioned, often there's remedial training, they'll get a formal warning, and sometimes there is an exit, yes. If it appears that either the person has breached the organisation's values and policies to such a degree, or in particular if they've done it before and they've already been warned for that behaviour, there's really no excuse in today's modern workplace.
What do you think of the Prime Minister's decision to ban sex between managers and their staff? Or ministers and their staff? I mean, that relates to managers and their staff in response to the Barnaby Joyce affair. Do you think that is a good idea?
I think it's a very bespoke solution, dare I say. And I think what would be fascinating to identify is that under Victorian law, if I can put my equal opportunity hat on for a minute, there is an attribute that's protected under Victorian law called lawful sexual activity, which basically makes it unlawful in Victoria to discriminate against individuals who are having consensual sexual relationships as a result of them meeting and being same employees. So it's interesting that federally
we have this. Are you saying that what Turnbull did would be unlawful in Victoria?
If we didn't have our blessed federation, it would be the case that, yes, it would be a problem. If the Victorian Parliament were to try and change the law, they would need to do so and explore that.
I presume that means, therefore, that you don't think that companies should apply the same policy.
No, they shouldn't. And the fact is that it's reasonably common for people to meet their partner at work. It only becomes a problem if there are issues around conflict of interest or when someone's sexually harassing someone. So even though, as I understand it, the rise of internet dating has now overtaken meeting someone at work as the most common way to meet your partner, I think employers need to tread very carefully if they try and ban people from engaging in lawful sexual activity.
Fascinating. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Rose Bryant-Smith and Grevis Beard, co-founders and directors of WorkLogic and writers of a recent book called Fix Your Team, published by Wiley, The Tools You Need to Rebuild Relationships, Address Conflict and Stop Destructive Behaviours.